It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and let's have a conversation. I am thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Susan Harris. We're going to be talking about gratitude, delayed gratification. And Susan, I want to thank you and your family. You have been the sponsors of the Federalist Papers show throughout this whole year, and it has been rich. I have had people that have said, I've learned so much. And typically our expert on this has been Ben Martin. He's a former Army Ranger, a patriotic historian, and really appreciate you guys being a sponsor for that show.
Oh, gosh, it's our pleasure, and we're just so happy to be able to do it. It's really a privilege.
Well, and you know, we're in this great battle of ideas here in America today, Susan, and it's important that we engage in the battle of ideas, that we understand why we believe what we believe, and that's why we do this show, is so that we can have conversations about these important issues out there. So how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, Kim. I just, you know, since we're here to talk about gratitude and deferred gratification and those types of issues, I just wanted to let you know something that enters my mind every morning when I wake up. The first thing I try to think about every morning, and that is, today is the best day of my life. And part of the reason is because I'm here with you, and I haven't seen you in a while, and I'm so happy to be here. But really, every day, every single day is the best day of my life. And if you think about that, what does that mean? Well, you know, yesterday's over. I don't get to have any of my yesterdays again, although there are some great memories. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow, I don't know if I have it tomorrow. Anything can happen. None of us are certain about tomorrow.
Right.
But I have right now, and I have today. So this is the best day I've got. This is the only one I'm certain I've got. So it is definitely the best one I've got, and I've got to make the most of it. And I get to decide how I'm gonna have the best day that I want.
And I love that, Susan, because you're talking about that we have the choices and the responsibility for those choices each and every day. And so this promises to be a great conversation. We'll talk about gratitude, delayed gratification. It's Thanksgiving week, one of my favorite weeks in the whole year.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
you know, I do want to say one thing. A lot of people are struggling. They have big struggles all the time. I have my own.
We all do.
Struggles. Everyone does. So when I say that today is the best day of my life, a lot of people just roll their eyes and can't believe that I would have that type of an idea. And what I say is, you know, really, in spite of my struggles, it's still the best day. In spite of the aches and pains I wake up with or don't wake up with, any type of challenge I'm facing, emotional issues, health issues, I know there are very, very serious issues that people deal with that make it almost impossible for them to even believe that this could be a good day, much less their best day. But I just want to remind people, this is the only day you're certain of having. And that's why it's the best day. Not because you are going to feel great at all times, 100% of the time. That's not what it's about.
Most definitely. Very wise words. So let's go through a few things here. Susan, as you probably know, we look at these issues every day here on the show as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And if something is such a great idea, the question on the table is, why do we need to use force to make people do it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think part of the big problem is we have so much in this country, we just take it for granted. We're not grateful for it. We take it for granted. We're used to it. It's our normal. We think our lives are normal. Our lives are not normal. Our lives are exceptional. We have freedoms that are exceptional. We have choices that are exceptional. We have access to resources that are exceptional, opportunities that are exceptional. And we take it all for granted because we're used to it and we think it's normal. You know, just take a few steps outside of this country and you will realize this is not normal. This is something to be extremely grateful for, and we need to take care of it and nourish it and continue to advance our ideas about having freedom and the great impact that the individual has on everyday society.
Well, and the creativity and innovation of the individual. You know, you mentioned that we take so much for granted. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. You know, and as we prepare for Thanksgiving, I didn't have to raise the turkey. I didn't have to butcher the turkey. I didn't have to pluck all the feathers off the turkey. I didn't have to raise the pumpkin for the pumpkin pie. I didn't have to raise the wheat for the flour. I didn't have to go out and create the energy. I can turn on the switch and the oven will work. We are truly, truly blessed. And we need to, I think, sit down, as you mentioned, and with gratitude realize how blessed we are. And with that, there is the responsibility to protect it.
Absolutely. You know, it takes so little. What we don't realize is how little it takes to lose what we have. And people are kind of sleepwalking, I feel like, right now, and not understanding, first of all, what they're losing and the price that they could possibly pay if those things are lost. And, you know, I really am concerned for my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. You know, it makes me very sad that they may not get to have the opportunities that I've had in my life to do what I want to do and expand my resources, have access to so many wonderful things and people and relationships. And, you know, the more we silence each other into really getting to say what we want to say and think what we want to think, and the more we pull back all of that freedom, we continue to isolate and isolate and isolate. And then that just makes our lives extremely small and unhappy.
Well, and we have a responsibility. We are Americans. And the American idea is one that we always try to pass on something better to the next generation. You know, freedom. And that would be first and foremost. And you just hit on it. It's kind of interesting to me that we're seeing voices being tapped down in America. We're seeing freedom of religion being tapped down. And it's been so subtle. But I'm grateful that I think that the veil has been pulled off, Susan.
Exactly. You know, sometimes I get really discouraged when I see all the strife that goes on in our political life and in our just day-to-day relationships with people that we disagree with because of all the intense scrutiny that's put on everything right now. And, you know, there's this politically correct idea, unpolitically popular ideas, or, you know, people think if you don't agree with me, then you are a bad person type of situation. That's brand new. And for me,
it is.
I've never thought that other people that disagree with me were bad people. And now it seems that I'm often considered a bad person because of my particular beliefs or thoughts and opinions. But, you know, what I really think is all of this turmoil, all of this strife that's going on is exactly what we need because it's so insidious, the way that we're losing our freedoms, that something big has had to happen to make us wake up and realize that that's what's happening. And now we're realizing it. The swamp has been identified.
Ugh.
We can see how deep it goes. And I think that's the key to moving forward. And honestly, I really believe we're being led to a better place.
But we must engage. And in doing so, we're going to go to break in just a minute. But since you were in studio, you know, one of the things I like to do is have a little word of inspiration or wisdom. I was thinking of strong women, so I was thinking of you, and then Maggie Thatcher, of course, another strong woman.
Absolutely.
She lived from 1925 to 2013. She was a British stateswoman who served as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom from 1979 to 1990. She was the leader of the Conservative Party from 1975 to 1990, and she was the longest-serving British Prime Minister of the 20th century and the first woman to hold the office. A Soviet journalist dubbed her the Iron Lady, a nickname that became associated with her uncompromising politics and leadership style. Now, what a woman. And she wasn't that big. I mean, she was.
Right.
She wasn't that big. But she said, "Socialists cry power to the people and raise the clenched fist as they say it. But we all know what they really mean is power over the people, power to the state."
That's right. And I think that there's a big misunderstanding, especially from young people in today's environment, that what they don't realize is power and money are driving the move towards socialism. And it's not to give the people the power. It's to have the government have the power over them.
And you can't have a big government and a big individual.
Absolutely not.
Big government, small individual. But America's on the whole ideal of big individual, small government.
Absolutely. And those individuals, because they're big, they can contribute largely. If we have small individuals, that negates all the contributions that people are able to make.
And so that's why, again, I'm like you, I'm grateful that the veil is off on this. So before we go to break, though, Steve, I know that you are ready for my jokes. And I'm thinking the day before Thanksgiving, everybody's going to be cooking. And so I found some chef jokes. Are you ready, Steve?
Make us laugh.
Okay.
I am to be one of those people, so make us laugh.
Did you hear about the Italian chef that died? He passed away, can only do so much. His legacy will become a pizza history.
Oh, my gosh. It's corn.
I think she was born in a cornfield.
Number two. Are we ready? Oh. Why did... I have two more if you guys are up for it. Okay.
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. Why did the chef quit? Because they cut his celery.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Okay. And I love this one. Susan, you'll like this one. Okay. Teach a man to fish... and you feed him for a day. Excuse me, cook a man a fish and you feed him for a day, but teach a man to fish and you get rid of him for the whole weekend.
That is right. That is right. Fishing is a great hobby, guys. You got to consider it.
Hey, before we go to break, though, I want to say thank you to the team, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for keeping this train on the track. And thank you to each of you listeners out there. You have a purpose. You are valued. You are treasured. Strive for excellence in every day. Take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. And thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Susan Harris. You guys have sponsored the Federalist Papers. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about gratitude and delayed gratification during this Thanksgiving week. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, spelled MONSON.com. And you can send me an email at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I'm thrilled to have in studio with me my good friend, Susan Harris. And thank you to you and your family again for sponsoring the Federalist Papers show. It's been quite a year to go through this. The Federalist Papers was written by Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, and James Madison to make the case to the American people to ratify the Constitution. And the Constitution was put in place to make sure that we protected these rights which is unique to the American idea of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So thank you so much to you and your family for doing that.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. It's just a privilege, really, to be able to do it.
Well, and people have learned so much about this. Ben Martin, who is a patriotic historian and also a former Army Ranger, has been our guest on that, and he has really delved into it. I know that Steve has said that he has learned so much from it. I know I have, and so many other people. So again, thank you. But let's jump into the subjects that we want to talk about. That is gratitude, delayed gratification, and we would be remiss if we did not mention the word envy, because I think envy is the opposite of gratitude, Susan. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of thinking about envy because I struggle with envy myself. It often seems to me other people have it easier, their success is greater, and it just seems like other people's lives are better than mine. And I find myself falling into that trap once in a while. But the problem with envy is, really, to envy someone else's success or accomplishments is to deny them to yourself. And what I mean by that is, if you don't think someone else should have what they have or have been able to do what they have done, then what you are saying is no one should. And that includes you. So envy is a very limiting idea. And you think you're envying someone else, but what you're really doing is limiting yourself, because by saying that other person doesn't deserve something, you're really saying no one deserves it, and you would be included in the big no one.
Aha. Most people don't think about that, though.
Right.
Aha.
You know, a better idea would be when you find yourself moving into that feeling of jealousy and envy, which I think is just a normal
human thing. Yeah.
Right. When you find yourself moving into that emotion, to check yourself and say, hey, I don't know what that person has gone through to get where they are, but I would like to have or accomplish what they have, or at least as much as they have. So what did they do to make that happen? I really want to try to emulate that. And you know what? I'm really happy that they've made it so far, because it means I have an opportunity too. If they can do it, I can do it, and anybody can do it. There's plenty for all of us. There's no need to be envious. And so when you feel that feeling coming on, just, you know, double check. Wow. First of all, I don't know for sure if I even want that, because I don't know what
they
goes
did
along with it. You know, they may have paid a price that I'm not willing to pay to get there. But all things created equal, let's say I do want that, I want to emulate them and do what they did so that I can have it too.
Well, and so the equality of opportunity, that's the American idea. And when I say equality of opportunity, that's not something that government does, but that it's really the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that we have this right to those particular things. And so when you look over and you say, gosh, if they can do it, I can do it, you know, that's a pretty amazing thing for everyday people to have that opportunity.
That's right. And to be grateful that is the case. Be grateful that you can even think, okay, instead of being envious, I'm going to emulate them. And who knows how far I'll go? Only I know.
Well, and that brings up another thing, and that is striving for excellence in everything that you do. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. had this great street sweeper speech where he said, no, you know, no matter where you are in life, if you're a street sweeper, be the very best that you can be. You know, wherever you are today, if you do the best that you can and you're striving for excellence, somebody will notice. Somebody will notice, and you are guaranteed to be moving on, you know, moving into other opportunities. Have you ever, I mean, I'm trying to think. I recently, it was some young person, and they just were, I know, I was going through Chick-fil-A. That's what it was. And the young guy, you know, made sure that, you know, the order was there. You know, actually, they do almost all the time. I think that Chick-fil-A actually should be in charge of healthcare in America, because they give you a product at a good price in a timely manner, and you're very happy. But anyway, I digress. But anyway, the young guy that was helping me, and they're typically all fantastic there, but he was just really striving for excellence. I thought, you know, he is going somewhere. It would be so interesting to find out where he is in 10 years.
You know, absolutely. I even look at the people who collect my garbage in my neighborhood, and I think, I am so happy that those guys are out there doing that job. They do a great job. They show up every week without fail, almost without fail. I mean, maybe once in a blue moon we'll get skipped, but they show up consistently. They do a great job. And I think about, what would my life be like if I didn't have that person to do that service?
Right.
They are really indispensable, yet people may not consider that career to be as valuable as others. Well, in my life, that's a very valuable service that they are offering, and I am so happy. And whenever I get a chance to see them, or, you know, if I'm actually outside when they come by, I really try to stop and say thank you to those people.
You know, I do too. It's so interesting that you would bring that up, because I have a woman that does our trash. And her name is Regina. I have actually had her on the show before. And she was up a couple of years ago for National Trash Hauler of the Year.
Oh, my gosh. And, you know, she is definitely doing excellent work.
She is doing great work. And, again, like you say, I when I see her, I like to say, thank you for your hard work. I actually try to tell people more and more often, thank you for your hard work. Because a little appreciation, a little encouragement goes a long way. And I think that circles back to gratitude, to be grateful for the job that they're doing. And every job is important. And if people strive for excellence, it's just exciting what happens.
It really is. And, you know, good service from companies that offer it, it's just indispensable. And I notice it all the time. And it really makes a difference in my daily life.
I'm going to tell you one other story. It just popped into my brain here. And I was at the post office, and there was a gentleman. He looked at me like he's probably from Africa, and I think he's probably a newly naturalized citizen. And the reason I say that is he had a whole bunch of different things that he was doing, and he was expecting the attendant at the post office to help him with them. And they said, well, you know, we don't do all of those things. You need to take that over there and finish that. And he said in a very loud voice, he said, but you work for me. And I thought, oh my gosh, he must have just gone through the whole naturalization process here, because that is what it's really supposed to be like.
That's
is
right.
The government is there to work for us, the people, instead of us, the people, working for the government.
Absolutely. That is so funny. I wish you had gotten that on camera, because it would have been priceless.
It would have been priceless. So let's continue on regarding gratitude. And you cannot be, I don't think you can be grateful and envious at the same time. Can you, Susan Harris?
You definitely can't. And, you know, really, I think gratitude can go a long way to helping you with your emotional health on many levels. Not just envy, but really depression, anxiety, all types of emotions that are difficult to deal with. Gratitude can really help cope with those things. Because you really can't be even angry and grateful at the same time. So when you're, you know, caught in the turmoil of depression and anger or anxiety, if you can stop and take a minute to think about what you're grateful for, even in the most dire of circumstances, there can be things that you're grateful for, people that you're grateful for. If you can just take a moment and start remembering what you're grateful for, some of those feelings of depression and anger and anxiety will start to dissipate, because you literally cannot hold those thoughts in your mind at the same time.
And we're going to be going to break here in just a minute. I started a gratitude journal, and sometimes it's as simple as thank you for the air that we breathe, you know, the sun that comes up every day, the moon in the sky. You know, you take a look at, I was driving in this morning and there was a little bunny, and I had to be very careful. I thought it was still, you know, sitting in the middle of the road. And I know bunnies, I know they eat flowers and all those things, but yet they're a miracle. I mean, they're just a miracle. Just think of all the little simple miracles that we see every day, Susan.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've heard this quote before, gratitude must be constantly fed, unlike resentment, which lives on naturally. Physical reminders are essential. And, you know, I know a lot of people choose to keep journals and that type of thing for gratitude, and I think that's great. One thing that I do is I set reminders on my phone, and I get pinged throughout the day Because I am telling you, my brain loves to go down that dark road into negativity. And so if I can remind myself to stay in that grateful mindset throughout the day, just to bring myself back into the present moment. You know, a couple of the reminders I use, one is, I'm grateful God gives me what I need instead of what I think I want.
Ooh. Ooh.
Or another one I have is, I trust things are working out for the highest good of all concerned.
Wow.
You know, just ping yourself some little reminders through the day. I know my husband uses one. I'm so grateful for my family and my wife. You know, just to remind yourself, because we all get on each other's nerves on occasion, and we start to forget that we're grateful for these people.
And when you stop and are grateful and you can encourage, I mean, I think that's another one of our jobs, is to encourage each other. And you can't do that when you're over in the envy or resentment. It can only be done through gratitude. And also, Susan Harris, let's go to break. This is the Kim Munson Show. We're wishing you all a very blessed Thanksgiving week. Love the conversation. We're talking about gratitude. And we'll also talk about delayed gratification. That is a very interesting component. So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back. Jason McBride. So tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I love Thanksgiving week because we do these, some of your favorite quotes. So what do you have for us today?
Well, you know, we all love to get together with our families on Thanksgiving to a degree. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who this quote is from, but I think it was pretty funny. It says, Thanksgiving is a time to count your blessings one by one as each relative goes home.
You didn't come up with that, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't.
Because I'm telling Melissa that. If that's the case.
Well, she's staying there. I mean, she's not going anywhere. I'm not going to get in trouble for that.
Okay. That's a great one.
So there you go. You're trying to get me in trouble with her family, aren't you?
I was. Yeah. That's okay. What I was
well,
doing.
They don't. I'm not going to tell them what station you're
okay.
on. So
okay.
There we go. But, you know, quotes that can be attributed to someone that we've all heard of, Winston Churchill. He's a pretty easy one to pick from because almost nobody can be mad at Winston Churchill, although there still are those that
try.
There's a few. But here's one that he has, Kim, and I like this. He says, the inherent vice of capitalism is unequal sharing of blessings. The inherent virtue of socialism is the equal sharing of misery.
Wow. That is really powerful. And, you know, it really looks at it. There's a couple of ways to look at life. Blessings, which, you know, we live in America, and the blessings that abound us. You know, you go to the grocery store as we prepare for Thanksgiving dinner, and the idea that we didn't have to raise the turkey, we didn't have to plant the potatoes, we didn't have to harvest all that. It's just a really amazing thing, and we take it for granted instead of being grateful for that.
Well, sometimes we do. I still try to be very grateful for it. And you know, there's always going to be in equal amounts of success, however you want to measure that. But I look at America at this time of Thanksgiving, and I think I'd still rather be here in America on our worst day than any other country on their best day.
Well, and you're not alone. That's why so many people are trying to get to America. You're not seeing them trying to get into Venezuela or Cuba.
Well, that's true. They're not, Mexico's not having trouble on their northern border, are they?
No, they're not. That's for sure. So,
there we go.
Jason McBride, thank you so much. I love Thanksgiving week when we do all these quotes. So we will talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, you will. Well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
And we wish you and your family a very blessed Thanksgiving.
Well, right back at you.
Okay. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
Everything is beautiful in its own way.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, spelled MUNSON.com. All the show recaps are there, the podcasts, all kinds of great information, our curated authors, just all kinds of great information. And if you want to reach out to me, it's Kim@kimmunson.com. Thrilled to have in studio with me my friend Susan Harris. It's great to have you here. And again, I want to say thank you because you have sponsored, you and your family have sponsored our Federalist Papers show this year, and it's been just very powerful. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yes, everybody check out Kim's website. It is really great.
We're rocking and rolling.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, we're talking about being grateful. We're talking about delayed gratification. We'll do that in the next segment. But the flip side of all these things is envy, blaming. What's your thoughts on that, Susan Harris?
Well, you know, I think blaming is an interesting problem as well. It goes right along with envy. We have a tendency to want to have someone or something to blame our situation on, blame our problems on, blame our challenges on. Sometimes it's a person, sometimes it's an entity, sometimes it's just society in general. But we have a real tendency to say, you know, it's all their fault. If they would just do something different, my life would be better. And my theory about that is to really take a minute and start thinking about your life in those terms. Who are you blaming your problems on? Who are you blaming? Who or what are you blaming your challenges on? Write down a few of them, because I can almost guarantee you that's your first clue of what you need to change about yourself. And I think it could be, even if you'll take it a little bit lightheartedly, you could find some humor in it. You know, if you're in a situation where you have blamed something on, like, a service provider, you know, well, what role have you played in that situation? And can you go find a different service provider that you think will do a better job? What is it about you that you can change to make the situation move forward in the way that you want to? You're perfectly capable. You are an intelligent person. Once someone very wise, Kim, said to me one time, Susan, your life is pretty much exactly the way you want it to be.
Wow.
Otherwise, you would change it.
Wow, that is pretty powerful, Susan. And as we look at that, I mean, it's a lot easier to blame. We see so much blaming going on in our country today, you know, with these young radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party. They're blaming, instead of taking any responsibility for themselves. But it's so much easier to blame.
Well, they think it's easier to blame, but that's because they've never tried actually solving a problem. That's what gives you a sense of satisfaction. Why not dig your heels in and get to the root of what's going on? Go out and you know, like the young man did in Baltimore and then Los Angeles. He actually put the word out, hey, let's clean up. Let's clean up the city. And hundreds of volunteers came out and actually cleaned up areas of Baltimore and Los Angeles that hadn't been cleaned up in years. The city had just ignored it. Everyone complained, blamed the city. This guy's like, why are we blaming the city? Let's just do it. And people showed up and they did it, and it was an amazing accomplishment. And everyone who participated in that, I am sure, felt great about what they did.
Well, and then there's the responsibility component of it as well. If you're blaming somebody else, you don't have to take responsibility for those decisions either. And as this wise person mentioned to you, that your life is exactly the way that you would want it unless you would change it. But, you know, let's do a little bit of a devil's advocate. Let's say that, you know, you have a physical, you know, there's something right. physical that just, it's not because you didn't take care of yourself. It's just
right.
kind of
something
just happened.
Right. So you have a very significant health issue that's mm-hmm. no fault of your own, of course. Mm-hmm. And there's no one to blame because it just came out of the blue. You know, and I agree. There are not just health issues. There are lots of issues that people deal with that they probably did not have much control over given a certain situation. But that is when you have to sit down and go, okay, this is a given. I cannot change this. But what can I do to make sure my life is going the way I want it to, given my situation? Yes, we all have challenges that we cannot really change per se, but you can certainly control how you respond to it. You know, we love to make movies about these people that meet their challenges head on mm-hmm. with an unbelievably heroic attitude. You have to find that within yourself as well. You can be your own hero in your own life. And sometimes that's why the challenge is there for you. Maybe that's the question that you need to start asking. Why is this challenge here for me? Start being grateful for the problems because they're leading you to your best opportunities.
Love that. Okay, let's change gears just a little bit because there's a lot of blaming going on in the American political scene out there right now. And you seem to think there's some things to be grateful about in that.
I really do. You know, I'm really grateful for all the current turmoil we're having. It took me a while to reach that point. At first, it really made me anxious and angry and upset. And I've really reached the point where I'm grateful for it. I thank God every day for all the political strife that we're undergoing in this country. I know that it is leading us to a better place. It's leading us to an even better, stronger country.
The country that is pretty fascinating
yeah.
in this day and age to say that.
You know, I think maybe a lot of us didn't think it could be any better. You know, it's so great. America is so great. Well, just imagine that America could be a better place. You know, and maybe there's some things that have been going in the wrong direction that need to be turned around a little bit. You know, some people like to call it the swamp. You know, the government has just gotten too big. Mm-hmm. We're going to reach a point where we can't sustain the government anymore. So, you know, we definitely need to make some changes in those areas.
You know, it is so interesting. I think I've been on the same journey as you, that there are times when you look at what's going on out there and I get a knot in my stomach and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. You know,
worry. Lots of worry.
Where are we headed? And then I too, am grateful. It's like the veil has come off on what has been happening here. And when I say the enemy, it's an ideological enemy, an enemy that is an enemy to the idea that every individual has these rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Yes.
And so the veil is off on that. And it actually has been deep swamp on both sides of the aisle.
Well, that's what I would like to emphasize is this is not a political party in and of itself. It is the entire system that has fed upon itself for way too long. And the reason I believe the current administration is under so much stress and criticism is because the powers that be that have been there for 25, 30, sometimes more years, they don't want anything to change. They don't want to let go of their power. They want to continue to hold on to the way things have always been for them. And the problem with that is there's way too much corruption at this point, and we have to put a stop to it.
And I'm not sure that I believed before Donald Trump was elected that we would have that opportunity to do that. I couldn't really put my finger, you know, on what I thought was going on. But we've moved away from a representative government to an administrative state. All these bureaucrats that are putting in rules and regulations with the force of law.
Right.
And all these people are living off of everyday hardworking people's, you know, taxpayers. And so Donald Trump comes in and he is mixing it up. And that's why I think that we are seeing this push on this whole impeachment thing, because if he gets four more years, I think that'll be amazing. I think we'll make great progress moving towards, again, a government that is smaller, where it is working to protect those rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of everyday individuals.
Well, you know, another thing to be grateful for is that in spite of everything that's going on politically, the president and his administration are slowly but surely continuing to do the work. And things are changing in spite of everything that's going on around them. I am just amazed and so grateful for the perseverance of not just the president, but everyone around him to continue to do the work, even though all of these, the impeachment proceedings, I mean, it's just a constant barrage of craziness that goes on around them.
Well, and I am very grateful for him and also for his family. Now, I'm not saying he's a perfect guy.
Oh, no one is perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect person.
You know, I'm going to ask you a question. And that is that, you know, it's easy to say, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to say, well, I don't really like his tweets, or I don't really like what he says, or I don't like this, or I don't like that. And I actually, I had a neighbor that was over that typically is a conservative, and she says, I just can't stand the man. And I said, well, now why? And she said, well, because of what he, you know, the way he treats women. I want to ask you another question, and that is redemption. If you are not grateful, if you are envious and blaming, there is no way that you can believe in redemption either, is there, Susan Harris?
Oh, I really don't know how you can hold all of those things together at the same time without redemption. And I'm not sure redemption is even needed, because honestly, that involves a lot of judgment on all of our parts.
Okay, and, interesting.
And judgment is just one step away from envy.
Right, right.
So, you know, there's a very typical idea that, you know, don't judge someone before you take a look at yourself. Right. Don't throw the first stone, right?
Okay.
Because we all make mistakes.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you that. So, you know, going back, you know, all the stuff that came out during the election with, you know, women and all those kinds of things with Donald Trump, quite frankly, I don't see that lifestyle as something that he is living today. And so when I say redemption is I think that was then, this is now.
Yes, it does seem like he has evolved as a person. That's what it seems like. I hope that I've evolved as a person. I hope that each of our listeners have evolved as people and that we learn from our mistakes. I think, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. When you are a person with a lot of power and money, your mistakes are big. And that's because all your actions are big too. Uh-huh. And especially when you're in the public eye, I'm always, believe me, I am so grateful I am not in the public eye. God, for not making me a celebrity, because I would never be able to stand the scrutiny.
Well, a couple of things. I have done things in my life that I really would not like to have plastered in front of everybody.
Right.
And we always do these jokes, and one of them was, why pay to have your family tree researched when you can go into public office and have your opponents do it for you?
Exactly. Oh, yes, that's so true.
Okay, let's go to break. I'm in studio with me is Susan Harris. Let's go to break. We'll do our final segment. To finish up on gratitude and delayed gratification. And that is something we don't see a lot in American society today. So this is Kim Munson. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. it is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Denver, and the historic 88 Drive-In Theater for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
I'm Scott Wilder with Save the Children. You're listening to KLZ.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have arrived.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson and thrilled to be having a conversation with my friend Susan Harris. We've been talking about gratitude, and we're going to talk about delayed gratification. We kind of hit blame, we hit envy. You can't be grateful and blaming other people and envious at the same time. But something that our kids, I'm not sure, are being taught in this society today is delayed gratification. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to talk about. You know, just our culture in general, it's because I think it's a combination of technology and the instantaneous access to everything in life, instant entertainment, instant ordering whatever product you think of that you need at that moment, you know, free two-day shipping. It's just a lot of instant gratification that we continue to habitually train ourselves for. And so delayed gratification has become sort of a rare commodity. And I like to call it a commodity because I think it's something that really you can use in your life to make your life richer. I don't know, when I was a kid and it got to be close to Christmas time, I tell you what, I was just so excited. The whole month of December was so exciting, and every day was just an amazing day, and I could not wait to get to Christmas morning. And then when Christmas morning rolled around, it was incredible. All that in anticipation and all that excitement had built and built and built. And yes, you know, Santa came and he brought some little treats, and it was just so much fun. And the joy that we got of having that experience of having to wait for Christmas Day, it brought so much joy and happiness to my whole family. But I remember it still, that feeling of wonder and excitement that I had. And delayed gratification is what gave those feelings to us and allowed us to have that joyous experience.
Well, being able to delay gratification, whether or not it's with food or drink or anything that you decide.
Purchases,
all kinds of things. Being able to say no to yourself and what you want, you can actually start to create a really important discipline in your life.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, that type of discipline, it gives you a lot of confidence. When you're able to say no and follow through with yourself, you get a type of confidence that says, hey, I am in control of my destiny. I decide what's good for me and what's not good for me. And that is so powerful to know that you have that ability to be in control of your own destiny.
You know, Susan, I think that that may be lacking to some degree in our education system now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to work to, you know, bring that back for our kids and in our educational system, because I think we're letting our kids down if we don't start to teach that.
I think you're right. There's an incredible amount of satisfaction that you don't realize you get from delayed gratification. It's just this great, solid foundation that you feel when you say no to yourself and you actually walk by the donut shop without buying the donuts. You know, once you've done those types of things over and over and over, you build up that muscle of being able to delay gratification. And it allows you to have the strength to really accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Okay, donuts. One of my favorite things.
Yeah, because, that's a tough one.
Yeah, my first job was Daylight Donut and Chicken Inn. So I'm a donut connoisseur. And so I love donuts.
Yeah.
But when you walk by the donut shop, it doesn't mean you have to do that. You have to walk by every day. But there is some power in saying not today.
Right.
You know, so it's not like you're maybe denying yourself forever.
No, absolutely not. The beauty of it is you walk by every day, and then there's that special day.
Special day.
That you get to really savor the donut. And the donut tastes so much better because you didn't have one every day.
Exactly. So you've seen this play out, though, in business as well with folks on delayed gratification, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, every aspect of business is about delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a lot of hard work to make something happen, especially something good. So delayed gratification is in every aspect of business, I think.
And so what would be maybe a few tips on people on delayed gratification? Because I think that people say, well, if I don't get it now, I'm not going to get it ever.
Right. Well, so let's go back to business for just a second. I have a daughter getting ready to graduate from college this December, and she has a great job lined up. And she was taking a look at her budget and how her new salary was going to fit into her budget. And she wasn't as excited as she had been at first. She realized, oh, you know, that big dollar amount, it gets eaten up pretty quickly by all these expenses that I have in my life or I think I want to have. And so it's going to require some delayed gratification for her to live within her means. But in addition to that, she's starting on the bottom rung, level one, at her company. That also requires delayed gratification. It's going to require her to go in every day with a humble attitude, do her best, and know that if she works hard for the salary she has right now, eventually she will earn more, know more, be a better expert at what she does, and earn more and know more, and it will just continue to build on itself. But you cannot expect to graduate from college and earn $1 million. I know I'm exaggerating for this example, but you have to start somewhere. And it means you have to delay gratification on a lot of levels. Your expenses might have to be smaller than what you had hoped. And also your expectations of what your expertise really is valued at. You have to allow yourself the time to develop that expertise and delay the gratification of, you know, earning the big bucks that you see all these other people supposedly earn.
Fascinating. So one other question, and that is, and I think you're talking a little bit about attitude as well. And, you know, the attitude that your daughter will come to work with on, am I here to learn? Am I here to contribute? How can I make this company the best that it can be? What is it that I can contribute? When you look at it that way, instead of blaming the boss that, you know, whatever it might be, that, oh, I have to, they asked me to spend some extra hours on this. You know, that attitude can make such a big difference as you are delaying your gratification down the road, and it can all come back in a big way. You may never know what day it's going to be, but it's going to happen.
It will happen. When I graduated from college, I had a great job too, and I started in a very large accounting firm. It was a very prestigious position in my mind, of course. And guess what I did for the first 3 months? This is before computers were a big thing, so I'm dating myself. I stood in front of a Xerox machine and made copies for 40 hours a week. I had a college degree. But you know what? I did my best at that job. And before I knew it, I was given a little bit more responsibility than making copies. And as time went on, I had more responsibility than I probably could even handle. And it was a great career, and I learned so much and had the best time. And my compensation was great as well. I mean, it really paid off. But boy, if I had given up in that first 3 months because I did not want to make copies all day, every day, I don't know where I'd be today.
So attitude and being grateful and realizing if you do a job well, who knows what's going to happen. So Susan Harris, we are out of time. We normally like to do a quote at the end of the day, and I think you've got one you'd like to share with everyone.
I've got a great one. This is by a woman named Jen Sincero, and I am so sorry. I don't know who she is, but she put this out on the internet, and I think it's awesome. And I quote, "We're on a planet that somehow knows how to rotate on its axis and follow a defined path while it hurtles through space. Our hearts beat. We have love, laughter, language, living rooms, computers, compassion, cars, fire, fingernails, flowers, music, medicine, mountains, muffins. We live in a limitless universe overflowing with miracles. The fact that we aren't stumbling around in an inconsolable state of sobbing awe is appalling. God must be like, what more do I have to do to wake these people up?"
Oh, Susan Harris, thank you so much. It's been great having you in studio.
Thank you, Kim.
Wishing you and yours a very blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Okay, and so today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free. The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.